About probably been 8 or 9 years ago, I took my son, who was quite a bit younger then, and two of my nephews to a baseball game in St. Louis, and it was a night game, and it was about a four-hour drive on the way back, and we had drove for quite a while, and we're ready for a break and to get some caffeine to finish out the rest of the night, you know, on the way home. And we had come down I-57 down along Illinois, and we're going to cross over into Kentucky. We lived in Bowling Green at the time. And we got off the exit there, and we're going to go to a little town there and stop and get some Coke or whatever. Notice as we were driving through the town that there was a man, this was at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, man walking down the street in a Superman cape outfit, full, top to bottom, Superman. It's kind of odd, strange bird. We drive a little farther down, and there's another man walking in full Superman regalia, the cape and everything. We got on down the street, and there's like four or five more. And the town is full of Supermen walking around town. I thought, what is going on here? It was like we were in the Twilight Zone. And what town are we in anyway? Metropolis, Illinois was the name of the town. Okay. There was a Superman convention going on, and we happened to drive right in the middle of it. So didn't have any kryptonite on me at the time, though. That would have been a lot of fun. Superman. Everybody there wanted to be a Superman. Some of them looked like Superman. Some of them were still dreaming to be Superman. I guess all of us in some way want to be super. We want to have powers. We want to be able to hold back evil in our life, because we do live in an existence of good in our life and of evil. We find ourselves standing on the border of orderliness in our life, but then on the other side, there's chaos. Sometimes we experience light in our lives, and other times there's darkness, and it seems like we're always on the border of chaos and order, or darkness and light, you know, and then that's just how it is. You can't escape it. That's life. There's good, there's bad, there's struggle, there's times of rest and enjoyment. And chaos always seems to be pushing against us, doesn't it? We try to build our life in an orderly way, and then chaos is always pushing against it. Or we try to create a life that's well lit and in good shape and in good order, and the darkness is always sort of creeping around us. And so we find that we always have to be pushing back against chaos. Well, that's kind of the nature of our lives, is leaning in and pushing back the chaos, or keeping a light lit, a candle lit to keep the darkness at bay. Because if we ever stop pushing, the chaos comes in and envelops us. Or if we ever let the light go out, the darkness will cover us. And we have this light that stays on all the time, even when we're not here, this eternal light to remind us that there is a light that shines in the darkness. Now, some men and some women stand on that border between order and chaos, between light and darkness, with great courage, while others of us cave very easily. When things get chaotic, we cave. Nothing gets accomplished. Some of us quiver at the faintest shadow of darkness. While other people seem to have this courage, they just walk through life with a calm cheerfulness. I mean, the weight of the world can be on their shoulders, but somehow they seem to just walk with courage and calmness and cheerfulness in their walk. One of the greatest tasks of Christianity is to forge a people of faith, a people who together stand courageously on this border between order and chaos, between light and between darkness. And we serve as a strong point in the fight against evil in the world, against darkness in the world, pushing back against the chaos. Because there is this unsettled space where a battle is raging in the world. And Christ enters into people of faith. He enters into their lives. And then through us, working through us, through God's power, introduces in the midst of this chaos, order and goodness and peace and beauty. And the church, one of the great tasks of Christianity is to mold and forge a people of faith who, when the world is going to pots, the church stands between chaos and order, between darkness and light, courageously allowing Christ to work through us in the world. Of course, the mass of people are not so bold and not so strong and not so calm and not so cheerful. Have you been shopping this weekend? You might have encountered that a little bit. And you can figure out pretty quickly that most people aren't sort of tied into this task that I spoke of when, if you did any shopping this weekend, or if you watched it on TV, that's where I like to watch it, in the news from afar, and just see how crazy all the madness was. People pushing each other and shoving each other to get to a TV that will be broken in 4 or 5 years. But yet they're mad for that. When the big box store opens its doors, man, the rush begins. That's where most of people's minds and desires are these days. T.S. Eliot said, "The majority of mankind is lazy-minded, incurious, absorbed in vanities, and tepid in emotion." That's quite an indictment on people. You see, we've been taught in our modern world to value comfort and ease, to desire more than anything comfort and ease. Now, comfort and ease are not a bad thing. I like to rest as well as the next person and have a little leisure and enjoy myself. But that's not the main purpose of our lives. That's not the main purpose of Christians. That's not the main task of the church. We're called to live in a way that's honorable. We're called to be an honorable people. And we're reminded in this season of Advent that the ones who live honorably don't seek comfort and ease as the prime goal of their life, but they seek as their highest aim Christ. Because Christ is light and Christ is power. And the world needs light in the midst of darkness, and the world needs power to push back the chaos. And I want to look at a few scriptures this morning in this week, first week of Advent, because the scriptures introduce ways for us to discipline ourselves as a people filled with Christ, to become the calm, cheerful warriors that the world needs, that the world is desiring. Calm, cheerful warriors who carry Christ, who carry the power of Christ with them, who are willing to stand on the border between order and chaos, between light and dark, and push back in the name of Christ. The world needs that. The world needs you to do that. Your family needs that to happen. Your community needs that. Your schools need that. Needs that one who is a warrior who will stand in the middle, full of Christ, the power and the beauty and the goodness of Christ, and push back against the chaos, push back against the evil that is that creeps in and is forcing its way into our life and into our society. And the first of those scriptures is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 4, and we'll get to the Matthew passage here in just a moment. But Paul says this. He says, "Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul says, lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, the disciplined life, the life of the disciple who's going to stand between good and evil, light and darkness, and order and chaos, the first thing, Paul says, is stop doing evil yourself. Stop shooting your own self in the foot. But instead, have your life be transformed. Lay aside the works of darkness, he says. Don't contribute to more chaos and evil in the world. Don't contribute to more suffering. This life in this world is not given to us as a place to satisfy our own greed and to build up our own pride and to fulfill our own licentiousness. Instead, the New Testament teaches us over and over again that you should see your life as an interaction with the world, not as a place to see what can I get from this to fulfill my needs and my desires, but how can I engage the world with Christ in me to create something that's beautiful. And I've said this recently in the messages that I've brought, but we can't emphasize this enough because most people see the world as, what can I get from the world? The world is here for me to meet my needs. But instead, the New Testament teaches the world is here for you through Christ to create something beautiful, to see the kingdom of God grow in your midst. That's what the world is here for, and we're here to be standing on the border of order and chaos that the kingdom of God might show up in our midst through Christ living in us. How else is Christ going to work in the world than through you and through me? And so Paul says, first of all, the disciplined life begins with stop creating your own version of darkness. Stop creating your own version of evil and throw off darkness and put on the armor of light. That's the first thing. Because we're here to create beauty. Have you ever thought of your lives in that terms? Can't emphasize that enough. We are here to create beauty, for the love of Christ to flow through us, and a beautiful life is created. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, to create good works, which God prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them." And then elsewhere in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." So Paul says, stop doing evil and be intent upon creating beauty. But man, we are so rife with greed and with lust and with hate and with violence in our heart, because we've been so steeped in the world, we've been so indoctrinated by the world, sin has entered into us, that we must first of all be transformed. We must be saved from that self. We have to be made new. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ before we engage the world honorably and with strength and with a calmness and with a cheerfulness. And we learn this from Psalm 122. Psalm 122 is called a psalm of ascent. It was a psalm that was sung as the people were walking up Mount Zion to enter into the temple in Jerusalem, or to worship on top of the mountain. And Psalm 22 says this, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. And there the tribes go up." And what do they do there? The psalmist says, "We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you." So we first of all have to ascend to the temple. We first of all have to ascend to God. And how do we ascend to God? Because Christ came down. We get to rise to God because Christ came down to us. Because he found it in Him to leave the glories of heaven, come into the world, incarnate Himself in the world through Jesus Christ, and then Christ can enter into us. What for? To position ourselves between order and chaos, between light and dark, between good and evil, as a bulwark with Christ living in us to push back the chaos. As people begin to fold, as you fold and you fold and you fold, and if I fold and if you fold, and the lights start going out, and the hands that are pushing against the chaos release themselves, the world becomes more and more chaotic, and the world becomes darker and darker. The world is getting darker. The world is getting more chaotic. Why is that? Is it because the church is not filled with people who are willing to push back against the chaos? Who are willing to hold a light no matter what may come, to hold up a light in the darkness and let Christ shine? Your families need this. Our schools need this. Our communities need this. Our nation needs this. The whole world needs this. And Christ is looking to you to be that bulwark, full of Christ's power. So we have Paul saying, first of all, stop doing evil yourself. And then we have the psalmist say, if you're going to stop doing evil, you better get right with God. You better ascend to the temple and meet Christ. And then we have our passage from this morning, our passage from Matthew, where we're told to not grow weary, but to be ready. To not grow weary in standing at the border of order and chaos, of good and evil, of darkness and light. Not to grow weary, but anticipate the coming of Christ, because He's coming. And when He comes, Matthew says, Jesus says, some will be ready and some will not. But the day of the Lord is near. We're always to be ready to receive Christ. And as Christmas approaches, we're reminded that Christ is born into the world and birthed into each of us. And Christ is born into us when we let go. When we let go of our image of the world and our picture of the world as something that we go and take from, when we die to that, Christ is born in us and we re-engage the world. We don't stay out of it. We don't escape from the world. We re-engage with the world and we see the world not as something to get and take and appropriate and exploit and abuse, but instead we see the world as a canvas. for musicians, as an empty piece of paper with five lines on it. Is it five lines? Five lines on it. And the notes, we begin to place them there. Treble and bass. The world becomes a project that Christ uses us in to create beauty. But much of our task in creating beauty is this. Christ fills us with His power and says, hold it back and give room for the kingdom of God to grow. Metropolis should not be the only city where you see Superman walking around. Should be Jeffersonville. Should be the community of Watson. It should be Clarksville. It should be New Albany. Louisville. Did I say that right? Louisville. And we should walk down the street and say, there's a brother or sister of Christ Jesus. There's another one. Because wherever you see a brother or sister of Christ Jesus, you see the kingdom of God begin to grow. And as the kingdom of God grows here and grows here and grows here, the chaos flees. The darkness flees. But it begins with us stop doing evil ourselves by giving ourselves to Christ and ascending that holy mountain and allowing Christ to come into us and then beginning to anticipate Christ always coming into us until the final consummation. And in that, we will live a joyful and a peaceful existence of a calm cheerfulness, full of Christ, even in the struggle, as we await the Christ child. Let's pray together. Lord, there is an insidious scheme in the world to divert our attention to comfort and ease, to acquiring of things, of possessions and of privilege and of worldly power. And it's a distraction that weakens us, that teaches us to escape, but you teach us to stand at the middle of the action, in the middle of the battle as your warriors, as brothers and sisters filled with Christ Jesus, to be light into the world, salt into the earth. May we hold up our light. May we push back against the chaos in the name of Christ Jesus as we celebrate the kingdom of God that will grow in our midst. And we thank you for that promise, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.